Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Meeks?
Yes.
Director Wayne is not online. Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Wygant?
Yes.
Director Whitaker? It's not. Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 7 yes votes, with directors Wynn, Sheldon, and Whitaker absent.
Madam Clerk, I'm present.
He's not agendized for teleconference, however.
I thought I was. I'm sorry, I asked to be, but I guess I'm not. I will proceed without it. I asked for it.
Okay, let's move on to the GWRS operations update.
Yeah, I've asked Mayho Patel to give an update to the board. Mayho's dealing with a few issues and is unable to get the plant up to full production currently. And we just wanted to make the board aware of what the issues are that Mayho's working around.
Let's see. Thanks, man.
Right. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and members of the board. As John said, we wanted to give a little bit of update on the GWRS. Like John mentioned, there are some flow limitations, but also it's kind of a good time because it's in March will be 1 year since the contractor gave us essentially their substantial completion on the final expansion construction. So it's close to a year of beneficial operations since the final expansion project was complete. So we can kind of give a little update of where we are and the flows and the cost of the water that we're producing through the GWRS after the final expansion. So just to give a little recap, especially with our new board member today. So the final expansion had several components to it. In addition to expanding the capacity of the treatment plant by adding new equipment at the existing facility that we call our advanced water purification facility on site, additional microfiltration, reverse osmosis, and ultraviolet light capacity, the goal was to produce 130 million gallons of product water, or the equivalent of 134,000 acre feet a year is the goal of the final expansion project. One of the newest components to that project and what makes it different from the last expansion is that we are now introducing a new water source from the Orange County Sanitation District, what they call their plant number two facility, which is located in Huntington Beach. So this is the first time that we were taking flows from that facility. So as part of the final expansion construction, we did have to build infrastructure down at their plant number two facility, and that mainly consisted of two pre-stressed concrete large storage tanks or flow equalization tanks, a pumping station, and then relining or turning an existing pipeline that sends flow between plant one and plant two from a gravity pipeline to a pressurized pipeline by slip lining or inserting a pipe within a pipe to allow that pipe to take pressurized flows for us to pump flows from plant two up to GWRS adjacent to their plant number one facility here in Fountain Valley. The other key component of the project was, as you know, the Plant 2 facility does receive flows from the Sauri Line, Santa Ana River Interceptor, and those flows are considered non-reclaimable by our operating permit. And so we paid to have those flows segregated in the Plant 2 facility, meaning we send the non-reclaimable flows to one part of the treatment process at Plant Number 2, and we send the reclaimable flows to another process, what they call their trickling filter solids contact process. And so that allows us to receive the bulk of the plant two flows while segregating those that are considered non-reclaimable. And then at plant number two, as we've discovered and some of the board members have seen in our GWRS steering committee meetings, the plant number two flows suffer from higher than normal salinities. And that's primarily, we think, is due to seawater intrusion into some of the collection system that feeds the plant number two facility. So we're seeing almost triple the amount of salts in that wastewater source than we would on the sources we normally get from plant one. And so to mitigate against that, we've included in the design of the final expansion the addition of a new style microfiltration membrane called polyvinylidene fluoride or PVDF, and then adding additional pumping capability on the reverse osmosis, because the more salt that ends up in our feed water, the more pressure it takes to push that water through our RO process. And so knowing that we would have this different water quality by taking some of the plant two water and mixing it with the existing plant one water, we try to mitigate that by adding some key components in our design. So one of those key components is we did retrofit and add a new portion of our microfiltration. So those of you that might not be familiar, our microfiltration system consists of below grade or open basins that contain the microfiltration membranes, and we divide them into a east side and a west side. The east side, or anything with kind of the gray roofing, was part of the original GWRS and the 30 MGD expansion back in 2015. And then the white portion is what we added as part of the final expansion. We essentially added a train and a half of new microfiltration membrane and converted these two trains to this new microfiltration material, PVDF, that is better suited to a more highly fouling propensity water like the new mix that we're getting now, and can be cleaned with a different type of chemical, free chlorine, that can be more effective in removing foulants. And then at plant number two itself, this is the conveyance that we built. So this is on the north end of OC Sands plant number two. This is just south of Hamilton, Brookhurst and Hamilton. This is on the north end of their property. We have two partially below grade pre-stressed concrete tanks that we equalize flow in, about 7 million gallons of capacity, and then a pumping station that's used to pump that flow from plant two to plant one. So some of the production limitations we've had that John was alluding to was, as some of you may remember, in early 2023, when we had a series of heavy rains consecutively back to back, what we were finding is that we had a reduction of recharge capacity, meaning most of the deep basin recharge basins that we have in our four bay facility were full with Santa Ana River flows. And even the two basins that are dedicated to receiving GWRS water, La Palma Basin and Mira Loma Basin, those were having less recharge capacity because of high groundwater levels from all of the basins being full. They just weren't percolating as quickly as they normally would because we were at a high groundwater condition and having full basins with Santa Ana River Prado outflows. And then that also contributed to less flow being taken in our mid-basin injection wells. And I'll show a graphic of that. So our mid-basin is a series of wells. We have five wells in the city of Santa Ana in Centennial Park, where we're able to directly inject GWRS water into the principal aquifer. And in that area, we have high groundwater conditions that are limiting the amount of injection that those wells will take. And then at Orange County Sanitation District Plant 2, Plant 2 is in a series of large-scale construction projects that are there. They're rehabilitation projects to essentially demolish and retrofit all of their primary clarifiers as well as their solids handling facilities. So from time to time, there's construction work at Plant 2 that limits the Plant 2 flows from coming to GWRS. And in particular, in 2023, there was a roughly two-month period where they had to purposely not send us any Plant 2 water, because they were doing work on their primary clarifiers that necessitated that headworks facility to co-mingle or non-segregate the non-reclaimable flow. So they couldn't segregate the flows, so we couldn't take them for this two-month period while they were doing that construction issue. We've also had some mechanical issues on some of the legacy or the original RO high-pressure feed pumps, but we've worked through those. And also in this current fiscal year, it was already scheduled, but we're replacing membranes in 9 of the 27 individual RO units. So that's a large scale effort where each unit has to be offline for 3 to 4 weeks at a time. But this was something that was incorporated into the planning and into the production goals beyond some of these other ones that were not planned. And then so one of the other key issues that we're running into, which we knew about, but it's exacerbated by high groundwater flows, and I'll show this on a graphic, it'll make more sense, is that we have what we call our product water pump station. So that's the pump station that pumps GWRS flows from the facility here in Fountain Valley to the recharge basins in Anaheim. And hydraulically, the max that it can pump is 100 MGD. So anything that we produce over 100 million gallons a day needs to either be injected into the seawater intrusion barrier along the coast or injected into our mid-basin injection well, so that it hydraulically, that's the limitation on the amount of flows that can physically make it all the way up to our recharge basins that receive GWRS water, Miller, Kramer, Mira Loma, and La Palma Basin. And then just these two graphics here, it just gives you an idea of when we brought the GWRS water the new source of water from plant two, you can kind of see that it does on our microfiltration system have a higher fouling propensity. It has higher organics, especially in the wintertime. And you can kind of see this rise here of when we brought that water in. But that was incorporated into some of the design concepts. So we're able to handle that portion of it. But that's something that we were expecting to see and something that we're going to have to deal with year to year, especially in the wintertime where the water seems to have the hardest time being able to treat it in fouls and membranes more. So this is the limitation on our pumping station in a graphic to try to explain how that works. So after our treatment process, the water can go one of two directions. It can be pumped 15 miles to our, essentially to our recharge basins, Miller Basin, Kramer Basin, Mira Loma, or La Palma Basin. And then it could also go to our seawater intrusion barrier along the coast here or to our mid-basin injection wells. Typically, our mid-basin injection wells and our seawater intrusion barrier during these high groundwater conditions can only take between 15 and 22 MGD max. That means that 100 MGD that makes it up to the recharge basins, in addition to this, the production capacity of the injection wells, that limits our production between 115 and 122 MGD hydraulically. If it weren't high groundwater conditions and not unusually wet and there was more pumping along the coast, between the seawater intrusion barrier and mid-basin, we could get up to 30 MGD along those two sources. That would free up an additional 8 MGD of production potentially to be added to what we are maximum able to produce right now under the current groundwater conditions. So this is something that we just have to kind of ride out till we see where the groundwater conditions are, but it's one of the limiting factors is literally just not having enough places to put the water because the injection capability has gone way down with high groundwater levels, not only in our seawater intrusion barrier, but also in our mid-basin area, which is the principal part of the aquifer. So I know there's a lot of lines here, and I know if Marcus was here, he'd hate all the lines, but the lines tell a story. And at the end of the day, we're engineers, and that's what we do. We make lines. So I'll try to walk you through this. The blue is the daily average production out of the GWRS. And this is going back to January 1st of 2023 to January 31st of 2024. The gray portion that you see there, which is just below it, that's the amount of flow that's making it all the way to Miller, Kramer, Mira Loma, or La Palma basins. That's the portion, the gray line, that's limited to 100 MGD because of the pump station. So you see that that line never gets above 100. It gets close, but it never gets above it because that's the hydraulic limitation on our pumping station. The kind of yellow line down here on the bottom, that's the seawater intrusion barrier. During a less wet year or lower groundwater conditions, we were hoping that this flow would be closer to 20 to 25 MGD. We have not gotten much past 15 over the past year just because of high groundwater conditions. And even in our monitoring wells, key ones like M25, M26, we see water almost up to the surface today. It's that high there. It's good in terms of we definitely have protective levels for seawater intrusion, but it also limits the amount of flow we can inject along the coast. And then the orange line on the bottom is our mid-basin injection wells. During normal groundwater conditions, we can get as high as 8 to 9 MGD. But during these higher groundwater conditions, we tend to get as low as 4 to 5 MGD. And again, these two components here, if they can be maximized, that's what allows for a higher production because we have this limitation on the amount of flow that can go all the way to the spreading basins at 100 MGD. As I mentioned before, we did have this low production period because we had full recharge basins and didn't have recharge capacity to send GWRS water to the four basins dedicated or that can receive GWRS water. We could only send it to the dedicated La Palma and Mira Loma basins, whereas Kramer and Miller, although they can receive GWRS water, they're also allocated for storm flows. And so they were full with Santa Ana River water and flows captured behind Prado Dam. And then we have this other kind of period here that I mentioned before. This was the period where OC San cut off their plant two flows because of construction projects going on. And that limited our production to 95 MGD during that period. And then you'll see kind of these dips here. We have had some some partial and full outages. One of them in particular was due to the 405 partners freeway construction projects, where they had to relocate our fiber optic cable as part of the raising of the grade underneath, or lowering of the grade underneath the Euclid Bridge over the 405 freeway, under the 405 freeway. And then we also had a small outage due to the construction of the Orange County Sanitation District's new headquarters building, where they had to install a new storm drain and had to relocate a portion of our seawater intrusion barrier pipeline. And so we had to cut off all flows to the whole east half of the seawater intrusion barrier. So there's been a lot of little things over the year, in addition to the hydraulic limitations of our pump station and the hydraulic limitations of having a higher than normal groundwater levels, not only along our seawater intrusion barrier, but along our mid-basin injection area. But the good news out of all of that is, the date here should be January. That's a typo here. So this is a 1 year's worth of data from January 2023 to December 2023. The unit cost, taking into account all the various amounts of production and changes in some of these commodities like electricity and chemicals, the average unit cost from January to December of 2023, or a 1 year period, was $833 an acre foot. And during that 1 year period, the production was 112,705 acre feet during that calendar year. So the production is still pretty decent. And then the unit costs are right about where we said they would be in our feasibility report for the final expansion. So that part's good. And the more we make, the lower that unit cost will be if we can get up to higher and higher production. So just want to conclude real quickly that some of the factors we're seeing is that we have some production limitations due to high groundwater conditions. We're hoping as groundwater conditions change, or there's more pumping after more PFAS projects come online, that we'll have a more favorable groundwater condition to do more surface spreading and do more injection. We think we've solved some of these RO pump issues, which were just wear from having pumps that are over 15 years old. And then OC San continues to send us a new quality of water when we incorporate the plant two flows. And so that does increase some of the wintertime membrane fouling, but that's something that we've dealt with through some of the design components we've included in the final expansion. And then we have meetings set up, and we continue to coordinate with OC San because they have several capital improvement and R&R projects going on, not only at plant two, but at plant one, that are going to limit flows to GWS on occasion when they have, especially when they do their major construction tie-ins to complete that work. And so that's something that we'll continue to coordinate with OC San. And with that, I can take any questions you might have.
Any questions, any comments? Yes, Roger.
Thank you, President. Yeah, thank you, President Green. Minho, thank you for the wonderful presentation. My question is regarding the 100 million gallon pumping capacity. Is that something that we can try to mitigate by upsizing the pumps, or the limitation is in the pipes, or combination of?
That's a good question.
How much is it going to cost, right? And how often do we encounter this type of situation?
It's a combination of the two. And to be honest, we didn't think we'd encounter this condition. We haven't had this happen before, where we've had such high groundwater conditions and lack of recharge capacity. The short answer is it's a combination. The pipeline telescopes, if you remember, it goes down in diameter as it reaches its final destination. So there's hydraulic limitation on the size of the pipeline, which we definitely couldn't expand because it's in the river levee already. And then the pump station itself, we could potentially look at higher horsepower pumps, but then we would have to redesign all of the electrical gear and the feed to it as well. And then the wet well has limitations in its size that the pump station was designed for. So the original GWS concept and the feasibility and the last initial expansion all assumed that between the barrier and MBI, we would be well above 25 MGD at all times. And this is one of the only time I've seen since GWS started where between the two were this low. So it's something that I don't think we foresaw was going to happen, but it's something what we have to deal with now.
Okay, thank you. And so the injection wells were considering at the naval station in Los Alamitos, would it be something that we could consider maybe sending some of the water? I know we don't have pipeline over there. And how much is that going to cost? And what is our average acre foot compared to the Long Beach plants price, if you don't mind reminding me?
The Long Beach price, I guess I'll defer to
over 1,000.
Yeah, we pay.
What do we pay for
the met rate?
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that an arrangement that we have to keep, or if we can come up with our own water, then?
Get out of that agreement if we need, if we have the opportunity or we have a reason to.
Okay.
And in terms of the other, I mean, you know, Bill Lever and Roy are working on the Sunset Gap feasibility study. So of course, that's one of the options is, can that, if there needs to be a barrier installed there, could GWS be the source? Okay. It's a potential, but that's something that has to be vetted still, and the price. And of course, the pipeline is going to be the most expensive component.
Thank you. I think John is eager to speak. Are you trying to talk about the probability of this event happening?
I just wanted to let you know, we're studying that right now. What would it take to get GWS water over to the Sunset Gap barrier? So we're going to have some numbers here soon.
Okay.
It's part of the feasibility work Roy's group is doing. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Director Amezcua?
No, I think Roger caught it. I saw John wanting to speak, and I thought it was very important that you speak. So thank you for sharing that. And I look forward to the feasibility report. Thank you.
Anybody else? Anybody on screen?
Doug's iPad has his hand raised.
Who?
Doug's iPad.
Doug's iPad?
Reinhardt?
Hi, Reinhardt? President Green, this is Doug Reinhardt.
Okay. Director Reinhardt, please. Yeah.
Thank you. So my question is, with climate change, there's going to be a lot more rain and more water in the Santa Ana River for you to take, and especially during the winter months. Don't you expect that you're always going to have this problem with not having a place to put that water? I mean, it's going to be worse than it is now, isn't it?
I would say not necessarily, Director Reinhardt. I mean, we could still have drought cycles where water levels are drawn down in the groundwater basin, and then we would not have this issue. But when water levels are high and the groundwater basin is relatively full, we won't experience this issue.
I just meant when there's free water in the river, you're going to take that over GWR, that's water, right?
Yes, in general, yes. Yeah.
So there might be more in the future, which would limit the amount that you can take into the basins. Thank you.
Yeah, and I guess I'd just add that it also depends on when that precipitation comes. When we have consecutive back-to-back storms, that's more of a possibility of that occurring. When they're more spread out, we're able to recharge that pool, then that's less of a possibility. So it just depends on the frequency of them, not just the intensity of them. So this was a year where we've had several back-to-back. I don't know what the future holds, but, you know, we'll see.
Well, I read today an article where that your general manager was frustrated watching all the river water go out to the ocean. Thank you. Bye.
I will give an update on that later. But the purpose of this is the plant is designed to 130 MGD, and you're going to be seeing reports now where it may only be producing 115 MGD. So we just wanted the board to be fully aware of the issues Mayho's dealing with. So that was the purpose of this item. Yeah.
Okay. No one else? All right. Thank you, Mayho. Good report. Yeah. Coming up next is PFAS.
Chris Olson will provide an update.
Yes, I do. Good evening, President Green, members of the board. Let me pull up our monthly update that we provide on design and construction. One second here. So there's been a slight shift in our summary here on the wells. We've made one addition upwards each way. So design now has 7 wells under design because Santa Ana well 31 is now in construction, which was approved tonight. And Anaheim has one more well in their phase A grouping that's now operational just recently within the last 2 weeks. So there won't be any more updates on Anaheim phase A because they're all operational. Yes, they do have some site work, some final grading and paving left to do. But as far as this update, I'm not going to be including the phase A work anymore. So looking at schedule for those 62 wells, 35 operational, like I mentioned. So Anaheim's phase B work, which includes 6 wells, still under construction. And looking at the May to June timeframe, a couple of them might spill into July. But bottom line is, between phase A and phase B coming into the next fiscal year, that's 14 wells that are going to be operational full time. So good news for Anaheim. As far as what's coming in the next month, this month into next month, there's 5 wells. That's East Orange County has 2, IRWD has 1, and then there's Fullerton Main Plant, which we're listing as 2. So those will all be operational end of this month, if not into mid-March. And then beyond that, there's 1 in Fullerton in design, 1 in Garden Grove, 1 in Golden State. We have the recently awarded Orange Phase 2. That's 3 wells. The City of Orange is operating their own construction project on one of their wells. That's the number 28. I'll show some pictures. That's one of those cases where they're doing the work because they are equipping the well that was recently drilled and incorporated the PFAS treatment system package into that well equipping. And our staff worked with their staff to coordinate and pull out what the treatment costs only were, so that we made sure we were only reimbursing for treatment costs. And then looking further, we have the recently awarded Santa Ana well now in construction. 2 more wells at Santa Ana in design. We are just now getting the 100% design package. So probably next month we'll be going out to bid for that wells 27 and 28 construction contract package. And then we'll get that one started. And then of course, Tustin has their 4 wells. So let me get into a couple of slides. Again, Anaheim Phase B, the 6 wells at the 5 locations, all under construction. At the Santa Cruz site, where there's 2 wells, they're working on things like the building and the perimeter wall construction. So it's a very large site, and they have a large perimeter CMU, concrete masonry unit block wall around the perimeter. And you can see the vessels and some of the piping to the side of that. So that work's ongoing. They're also doing the conveyance pipeline construction, 24-inch pipeline in Orangewood. And then at Brookhurst, they just finished rehabbing the well. And then for the next 3, you can see electrical work. It's all electrical. That's always been the case with these projects as we've been completing them. Electrical's been one of the last things that's getting done and finalized. So at Brookhurst, downtown in Willow Park, it's electrical. Looking at Catella, also electrical, but just a quick little picture here to show inside their chemical building, just putting up the finishing touches. So all of these sites for the phase B, like I mentioned, May/June, a couple of them will spill over into July, but then they'll be all operational for their phase B. Orange, the phase 2, it's 3 wells, 20, 21, and 22. That's the construction contract that we awarded within the last couple months, and it has started. 28 shown here, as I mentioned, that's the one that the City of Orange is manning themselves. So not much has happened. They've just mobilized at well 20. They have the over-excavation done, started the subgrade compaction. But as you can imagine, this probably looks like a little bit of a pond today. We've had all the rain, so there hasn't been much construction activities over the last week, just in dealing with the mud that's happening and getting the water out so they can start up construction activities. And again, similarly at well 28, this is the well. It's going to be a recessed pit similar to Serrano, similar to IRWD's, because it's around a neighborhood, a residential neighborhood. And that's what's going on at Orange. And here's Santa Ana. You'll see the blue. That's Santa Ana 40. That's been in operation. Now we have in construction wells 31, 38, and then that design of 27 and 28 is what's happening right now. Just wanted to share a quick rendering of what's going on at 31. This is what it will look like. Well 31 is actually in the parking lot of the Santa Ana Zoo. So this is tucked into the corner. You got, this is the facility where the well is. You got 4 vessels. It's a 2 lead lag system. Over here off to the sides, an emergency diesel generator. So just a rendering, I just wanted to show a picture of what it will look like when it is complete. And then as we move forward, I'll show construction activity photos. And lastly, I have Tustin, which is the 4 wells at the centralized treatment plant, which is a couple mile pipeline that's associated with this. The pipeline work is ongoing right now. And they were able to just recently get the concrete foundation placed, prior to the rain, this is where the pre-filters are going to go. There's four systems out there, 8 vessels total. So got that installed just in time. And like I said, everyone's in catch-up mode basically from all the rain to get construction activities back up and running. And that concludes the update. I could take any questions.
Any questions? Any comments? Okay, I don't see any. Good report. Really making progress. Okay, Christina, do you want to?
Okay, and just for the record, I did want to clarify that Director Sheldon did request a teleconference for tonight's board meeting, and that was my clerical error, and I apologize.
Yeah, just to be clear for the board, Director Sheldon can participate in the closed session. Hopefully he hears that, but yeah, he can participate in the closed session as well.
He's on.
But you guys didn't love me.
We've been working like mad to clarify everything. So, okay, moving on to SAPA, Director Whitaker.
Yes, thank you, President Green. Yesterday morning's Santa Ana Watershed Project Authority meeting had one primary item to convey to you. It was a pretty light agenda, but we issued a task order in the amount of $397,018 for a 3-year option for services provided for the Santa Ana River Regional Bacteria Monitoring Program. And we've received the final report from the task force at that meeting too. So this is a 3-year period for those services, which include gathering samples and testing and overall oversight of it with a 2-year option for extension. But that was about it for yesterday.
Okay. Next, committee conferences. Joint planning, the information is in the packet. Property, Director Sheldon.
I believe the information is found in the packet.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. Next, verbal reports. President's report, I just wanted to report out that at Aqua, we elected 3 executive committee at large seats, 1 to Eric Larrabee, 1 to Sarge Green, and the 3rd to Carolee Gonzalez Brady. General Manager?
Yes, I wanted to just give an update on what's been happening with our facilities in the river and Prado Dam. So if you look at the river right now, 7,500 cubic feet per second of water is going out to the ocean. And that's about 15,000 acre feet a day that we're losing to the ocean. Now, during a typical year, we probably have 6 to 7 days like today where we're losing this amount of water to the ocean. So it's nothing new. It happens, you know, annually, a few days every year, but it's always difficult to watch all that water go out to the ocean. And what's happening is the Corps of Engineers is releasing that large rate. And because the Corps of Engineers has a lot of water behind Prado Dam, you'll remember that the Corps will store water for us up to elevation 505. Well, right now, water behind the dam peaked at elevation 512. So it was much higher than our conservation pool. So what is happening, and at 512, 512 feet, the Corps has 35,000 acre feet of water behind the dam right now. So what is happening is the Corps is releasing to go from 512 feet down to 505. And they're releasing at a large rate, 7,500 CFS. But when they get down to 505, and this will happen in a couple of days, then they will stop these large releases, and then they will start releasing water at a rate that we can capture easily with our facilities in Anaheim. So, but for the next couple of days, you're going to see a large amount of water going out to the ocean, which is, you know, never good to see. But I just wanted the board to be aware of what's happening. But then, you know, we'll get to elevation 505, and then hopefully you'll see no water going out to the ocean But that's what's happening.
Okay, Director Yeo.
John, so at this release rate, is it helping flushing out the sediments?
It can't hurt. Okay. I don't know if it's high enough. I've heard people say they want an even higher rate to help flush the sediment to the beaches. It has to be helping. I'm just not sure how much.
It has dual benefits, you know, helps increase the volume behind the dam at 505 and also replenishes the beach.
Yeah.
Beaches. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Dr. Bilodeau.
I just wanted to congratulate John for getting off to such a good start, bringing us all this this rainwater. Thank you.
Thank you. I just wasn't sure I could turn it off. I think I have.
John, if tomorrow there's no rain at all and they see that there's not a chance of flooding, can they stop that rapid release?
No. They have to go down to 505. They're in full flood control mode right now, and their manual tells them they have to get down to elevation 505. And so,
okay.
It'll be a nice sunny day tomorrow, but yeah.
Okay, Director Whitaker.
Yes, I just wanted to clarify or refresh. What has been the highest level of release at Prado Dam over at least the measurable time frame here?
It's been relatively low because of the work that the river has needed over the last 10 to 20 years. They've been doing work in the river to fix the sides of the river and the levees. And it hasn't been much above 5,000 CFS over the last 15 years.
Our last tour at Prado, I think it was related that 10,000 has been the highest that has been.
May have gotten up there.
Okay.
And then after all the work is done, they could potentially release 30,000 CFS.
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. But right now they're limited, which is kind of good for us.
Thanks. I just need the refresher once in a while. Confirm that. Thanks.
Any other questions?
Director Sheldon has his hand raised.
Oh, does he? Okay. Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Madam President. I wanted to welcome new Director Gene Hernandez to our meeting. He's recently appointed the Yorba Linda Water District.
Okay. Anything else?
Thank you, Steve.
Of course.
Okay. Director's reports? Anybody? Director Whitaker? Or was that left over?
Oh, no, it must be left over. The button is kind of hard to see when it's on.
Okay. Sorry. All right. Anybody? No? Okay. General Counsel?
Yes. Thank you, Madam President. We have one closed session this evening for a conference of legal counsel to discuss existing litigation pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1. Two cases. OCW versus Saving Innovative Plastics and OCWD versus San Mina Corporation, which are known as the South Basin cases. And I recommend we recess to closed session at this time.
Okay, we are recessed.
We return from closed. We return from closed session pursuant to Government Code 54956.9. There are no reportable items for closed session.
Okay, we are adjourned at 6:43. Okay. We'll talk about this now.